On Friday afternoon, we had a lightning strike. Everything went off right about 4:45, and it came back on in a little bit, able to shut the alarm off, and everything seemed to be fine. But then we discovered, or someone discovered, possibly Adam, that our phones were not working. And they seemed to be back in order right now. Because we seem to have a dial tone. But if you try to call the office this week and you do not get through, then call one of us on our cell phones. Since David is always saying it, call David on his cell phone. He is in the Baja Peninsula right now. He would be delighted to hear from you. Oh, I'm kidding. Just like David is kidding. But if you're not in second service when David makes announcements, he ends every announcement with saying, if you need anything, call Dwayne's cell. And so that's why I'm saying that. Started off for this to be one lesson to be delivered tonight. My notes turned out to be 2 pages long. I decided that's not a good idea. So I divided it into two, and it naturally works out to being divided into 2 lessons. And I've had several people already to tell me, this is not right. It's not 6 things, it's 5 things. No, that's not right. It's 6 things. And we're going to take a look at those 6 things, but I want to give you a background with regard to this lesson and why, and basically where it's coming from. Been reading a lot of books lately with regard to how to study the Bible, and one of the writers that has had a great deal to say, and I've been reading several of his books, is a writer whose last name is Stein, and he's a professor of one of the theological seminaries, and he's written several books with regard to important things that we need to keep in mind as we study the Bible to help us better understand it. And one of his books is entitled Difficult Passages of the Bible. And he takes difficult passages and shows how that, by not just simply reading a few verses, but tying together everything the Bible says in its total context into that particular subject, we will begin to understand what those difficult passages mean. In one section of that book, it only covers just a very few pages, he talks about difficult passages that point out the significance and necessity of baptism. And when he is doing this, he talks about those that have a difficult time in understanding baptism and how it relates to salvation. And he says that difficulty goes away once we take a look at everything that the Bible has to say, and it does. And we've known that in the Restoration Movement for a very long time, and the Bible has known that for a very long time. And I thought it was interesting the way he went about showing how to connect all of these verses together. And it's not just true with regard to the subject of baptism. It's also true with regard to anything. To pulling all the verses together to see what the Bible in its entire context is saying about any particular subject or any particular verse. But I've had a lot of questions lately about baptism. And there's a lot of things that we do that make me think maybe we don't completely understand the significance that the Bible places on what is it that leads to our salvation. When we have the idea we are saved and then at some point later we will be baptized. Or when individuals will be baptized without even knowing that they are when they're a baby. And then at some point much later they will be saved. That's foreign to the Bible. Both aspects of it. Both sides of it. It is foreign to what the Bible shows us and to what the Bible teaches us. And so I want to divide this up into 2 areas. We're going to look at 6 things. We're going to do that in just a second. But when we look at those 6 things, The Bible will take all six of them and use them interchangeably. It will take all six of them and combine them with each other at different times, showing the significance of every single one of them. And then the second thing that happens is that if you take these six things and look at how they relate to salvation, you'll see that every single one of them is absolutely essential in order for there to be salvation. Not a one of them is to be eliminated. And as you go through the Bible, because these two things are true about them, they all happen at the same time. Not at the same moment, but they all occur at the same time with one leading into the other. So let me show you what they are. I will say this. In the book, he doesn't list six things. In the book, he lists five. And I think he's wrong. I think there's six. We've listed five. The man who started that actually had six. And he was right. But it got hard using two hands, so we narrowed it down to five, so that we could put them all on one hand. And that was the idea behind his, but I think he combined a couple to have five. I'm getting off track now. So let me get to the six things. The one he left out were, or rather the one that the man in the book left out was the first one, hearing. But it's in every aspect of salvation. It is either directly stated or it is indirectly implied. And hearing is absolutely essential in order. We have to hear the gospel. If we don't hear the gospel, we don't know what to believe. We don't know what to trust. There's no basis for faith if we haven't heard what Jesus says, if we haven't heard what Jesus has done for us and what the gospel is all about. So hearing will then lead to faith, which is exactly what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then that leads us into repentance, recognizing that we have not been what God would have us to be. And that leads us into the idea of needing to change, wanting to change, and wanting to turn to God. That leads us to confession, acknowledging that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That leads us to regeneration. This is the one that we normally don't put in. Even though it was put in by the man who first started this five-finger exercise. He called it receiving the Holy Spirit, regeneration. Now, I think one of the reasons why we have trouble with this one is because we have been sidetracked by all the discussion on miracles and all the discussion on being able to speak in tongues, work miracles today. Can we do all of those things today? And we get sidetracked from what is actually meant. Do you remember when Paul wrote in the book of Romans chapter 6 that we are buried with Christ in baptism and we rise to walk in newness of life? That newness of life is the regeneration. That newness of life is us being regenerated. We're going to look at verses when we look at these comparisons that talk about that our regeneration is a new life or regenerated by the Holy Spirit, which occurs when we are baptized into Christ. And this regeneration continues for the rest of our life. Regeneration means living like Christ. It means becoming like Christ. It means having the mind of Christ. How do I have that mind? Through the words that he's given to us. The apostles reveal to us the mind of Christ in what they write in these letters and in these gospel accounts and in these books of history. They reveal to us the mind of Christ, the way he thought, the way he was, and the way he wants us to be. And we are striving to become like him. That is the regeneration. And the regeneration is so important that it doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized. If your life is not being regenerated into the likeness of Christ, there's no salvation for you. And this regeneration is not something that occurs and happens one time. It goes all through your life. Paul will say, I'm not there yet. I still have a ways to go. I still need to grow. I still need to become more and more like Christ. But when he comes down to the end of his life, even though he's not perfect, he knows, I finished the race. I finished the course. There's therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not just to me, but to everyone who loves the Lord's appearing. And so this regeneration occurs all throughout. And what I really wish now I had done is reverse them and put baptism as number 5 and regeneration as number 6, because we are buried with him into baptism and we are raised to walk a new life, to be regenerated by his mind, by his heart, by his words, to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. So here's the first thing that we want to do. We'll do this morning, and we'll do the second one tonight. The first thing is this. We're going to look at all 6 of these in various combinations, where all 6 of these things are put together, where all 6 of these things come together in a way that they're not separated. They're not separable. You can't separate the one from the other. To be involved in one is to be involved in the other. And this is something that takes place all through the New Testament. So here's the first combination. The combination of faith and baptism. The book of Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Baptism and faith are inseparable. They occur together. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus. Why? Well, because every one of you that's been baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And then this one. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith. You see the two aspects? You were buried with him in baptism. And through faith, you were raised up with him. That begins this idea of being regenerated, becoming like Christ. You were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And here Paul writes to the Colossians the same thing he wrote in Romans chapter 6. That we are buried with him and we rise to walk in newness of life. And faith, baptism go together. And they are put together in the Bible. They're not separated. Faith, hearing, and regeneration, the three of these going together. In him, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, you got to have hearing. You've got to listen to the message of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation. Having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit that God has promised to those that come to him. That's that regeneration. So here we have faith and hearing and regeneration. Coming into the mind of Christ. Becoming like Christ. Baptism and regeneration go together. Romans 6, 4 and chapter 7, verse 6. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we've done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 is the passage. But if you compared, we're not going to take the time to do it this morning, but I put this up here. If you compare what Paul says in Romans chapter 6 verse 4 and chapter 7 verse 6, you see the connection of baptism and the Holy Spirit, which brings about the regeneration, because he makes that connection. But in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing, which is a reference toward baptism, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit renews us. The Holy Spirit brings us into the likeness of God by bringing us into the likeness of Christ, by creating in us a new heart, a new mind, which is patterned after the mind and the heart of Jesus Christ. Another one, faith and confession. They go together. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, there's a question that raises about this one. We're going to answer it at the end. Y'all want to know what the question is? Okay, this doesn't say anything except about confession and believing. So are those the only two things necessary? There are only two of the six are mentioned here. What about the other four? Because only two of the six are mentioned here, does that mean that the other four are not important? When you read the Bible that way, you're reading it wrong. When you read the Bible that way, just by picking out a verse and saying, here, this is what it says, that's it. And you refuse to take a look at the Bible's total message, you miss the Bible's message. And I'll show you that when we get toward the end of this. Baptism and confession go together. Now, why do you delay, is what Simon said to Saul of Tarsus. Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Paul had been praying for 3 days. This was not an encouragement for him to pray, because he had been praying for 3 days. What this is saying is, you get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, because it's in baptism that you are calling on or requesting from God a clean conscience, because you were doing what God said to do and the way God said to do it. That's 1 Peter 3:21. Or another way of looking at it, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name, doing what he wants you to do, and coming to him on his terms, not on your terms. Either way, baptism and confession are put together. Faith and repentance are put together. And say, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Faith and repentance go together. The time is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. This is what needs to be done according to Jesus. Repentance, baptism, and regeneration all go together. Peter said to them, repent. This is Acts 2:38. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at that. There's three of them together in Acts 2:38. Repentance, baptism, and regeneration. Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that promised Spirit, that renewing Spirit. The Spirit that brings us into the likeness of Christ, shows us how to come into the likeness of Christ, and teaches us how to follow him and how to be like him. Faith, repentance, regeneration, and repentance. You've almost got all six of them. Faith, repentance, regeneration, and repentance. All of these, Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. This is when Paul comes back to Ephesus. Apollos has already come, Aquila and Priscilla, recognized that he knew the things about Jesus, but he was teaching the baptism of John. So they took him aside and they taught him the way of the Lord more perfectly. Well, when Paul comes back to Ephesus, he finds a group of disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. And when he finds this group of disciples, and it may be more accurate to say believers in the kingdom of heaven and followers of the kingdom of heaven. But when he finds these disciples, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said to him, we didn't even know the Holy Spirit was given. Didn't know the Holy Spirit was given? Then how were you baptized? Is Paul's question. Because the problem gets back to that. Then how were you baptized, or into what were you baptized? They said, we were baptized into John's baptism. Paul then tells them, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. So repentance is here. They have done it. It is important. But something is wrong and amiss because they haven't been baptized into Christ. So repentance is involved here. Then Paul says to them, John baptized with the baptism of repentance. And he told the followers to believe on the one that was coming after him. That is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard that, then they were baptized into Jesus Christ. And being baptized into Jesus Christ, we see a difference. John's baptism was to bring folks to repentance. Jesus' baptism was a baptism of bringing one into Christ and into Christ's likeness. And it was a baptism of the Spirit. Regeneration. Regenerating. Faith, baptism, regeneration, repentance. All in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. And then Paul laid his hands on them after they had been baptized. And they were able to do the miraculous gifts, which meant they had been in the presence of an apostle. Which meant they had been taught by an apostle. And now they could give proof that we belong to that group. That group that's been saved by Jesus Christ. And our salvation was taught to us by an apostle of Jesus Christ. But coming into Christ, being baptized into him, is when they begin this process. They are forgiven of everything because they belong to Christ. Now they learn how to live like it. Now they learn how to live like Christ. Two questions, getting back to the answer. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter says, when the people said to him, what do we need to do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in that answer is faith mentioned. Nowhere in that answer is faith in Jesus Christ listed and talked about. Does that mean faith is not one of the six? Does that mean faith is not important? Does that mean that faith is not a part of salvation because it's not listed here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38? Nobody needs to read the Bible that way. That when we look at all these things that are all used interchangeably, it can all be substituted for each other. Can you imagine Paul, or rather Peter, saying, what you need to do is to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you don't need to worry about believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You don't need to worry about doing that. Because that's not really significant, because I haven't told you to do that in this sermon. Nobody would understand Peter to be saying that. The second one, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, regeneration, baptism, and repentance are not mentioned. If you believe and confess, you will be saved. But regeneration in the Holy Spirit is not talked about. Baptism is not talked about. And repentance is not talked about. Does that mean those three things are not part of the six? No, it does not. And we don't need to be reading the Bible that way. We need to be reading the Bible to find out what it says in its total context, to learn exactly what the Bible is saying for us to do. Because all of these things go together. And one way of showing that is what we've just done. To look at the total context of the Bible and look at all these words that are used and see how each and every one of them are used with the others interchangeably to tell us the things that we need to do as a part of our coming to salvation. Now tonight, we're going to look at every single one of them, all six of them, and how they associate with salvation. Every single one of them are listed with regard to being saved and to coming to salvation. And we're going to talk about that tonight. There may be some here this morning who are ready to be baptized into Christ. There may be some here this morning who need to come home to Christ. If you need to respond to his invitation, we'll offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.